This morning, the scripture is going to be from Mark chapter 10. I'll read verses 46 through 52. And you can find that on page 65 in the New Testament portion of the Pew Bible if you want to read along. Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. Then they came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many were sternly telling him to be quiet. But he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him here." So they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, stand up, he is calling for you." Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, I want to regain my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. All right, so we'll let Sarah take the kids downstairs, whoever wants to go. Bartimaeus is perhaps one of the most persistent and unreserved seekers in the Gospels. There are many who seek Jesus, many who come to Jesus for one thing or another. There are many who come with a clear need, realizing that Jesus is the remedy for what they lack, that there's no one else but Jesus that can meet their need. Most of those who need healing, like Bartimaeus, fit into this category. Then there are others who come to Jesus with a question in their minds, or some uncertainty that is plaguing them. They know that Jesus can fulfill a need for them, but they're still not quite sure that they want to hear the answer to the question. Think of Nicodemus in John chapter 3, the Pharisee who comes to Jesus by night because he feels that Jesus is from God and he wants some confirmation, but he's not willing to do it in the day, in the middle of the marketplace, the way some of these other folks are. Or we might think of the rich young ruler from just earlier in this chapter, Mark chapter 10, and I think the way that Mark has arranged the material, we're meant to think of the rich young ruler as we read about Bartimaeus as well. You remember the story. He asks, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And if you read that portion of the chapter beginning at verse 17, you'll remember that the young ruler is unable to go the additional step that Jesus lays out for him. Jesus says, "Keep the commandments," and the rich young ruler says, "Yes, I've done that. I've got that down, right? Good. I can go, right?" And Jesus says, "Well, sell all you have and give it to the poor." And this particular seeker turns away grieving, for he owned much, Mark tells us. So there's some folks who have those questions, but they can't quite get all the way with the answer. And there are other folks who know that Jesus is the source that they need. Bartimaeus, by contrast to the rich young ruler, has nothing but a cloak. And it turns out that in those days, beggars often used their cloaks, their outer garment that they would sleep in. During the day, they spread it out so that they could capture coins. So whatever income Bartimaeus could get was going into that cloak. That cloak was the repository for whatever change, small coins, the bypassers on the way out of Jericho would throw into it for him. But he doesn't ask to be given more money or things or to have his material needs, at least in terms of money, met. He knows his deepest need, and he knows that Jesus can meet it for him. And unreservedly, persistently, he cries out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Son of David, a title that Jesus has not yet been called in the gospel, but yet that will be echoed just in the next episode of the story, when he enters into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey's colt. "Son of David, have mercy on me," he cries out again and again, despite the crowd's censure, despite the fact that Jesus might not even be able to hear him. He cries out. And when Jesus says, "Call to him," and asks, "What is it you want me to do for you?" Bartimaeus throws aside that cloak. Doesn't matter how many coins were in it. It might have been an entire morning's worth of takings. Throws the cloak aside to go and receive what he needs from Jesus. "I want to see again." So unlike some of the other blind people healed in the Gospels, Bartimaeus knows what sight is. He's lost it. And he wants nothing more than to see again, to have that sight back. Persistence and unreservedness are two things that I think of when I think of Bartimaeus. He knows his need, he knows where he needs to go, and he's not shy about getting there. We'll get back to Bartimaeus, but I want to tell you a little story about time I spent earlier this month on retreat in Marin County, in the little town of Inverness, which is on the east side of the Point Reyes Peninsula. It's right next to Tomales Bay. Probably most of you know of the area. And I was at a retreat center there, kind of up on the hillside, so you can see over the bay. And I could bird from my bedroom. It was great because I had windows on three sides. And if I had my binoculars and I heard an interesting bird outside, I just had to, bring them to bear. I didn't even have to get up. I could bird from the desk, which was fantastic. But I spent most of my time reading and reflecting and writing and praying. But one afternoon, I took a fairly long hike uphill, west, still getting east and west confused, uphill through the upper part of Inverness, west towards the National Seashore part of Point Reyes, the actual Point Reyes National Seashore. And the walk starts on the residential streets of town, and then a dirt road through the water district land, and then you go through a little spur of Tomales Bay State Park, and as you go, the trail gets, it first sort of starts out as a fire road, and then it becomes more of a dirt track. And then as it narrows a little bit more and goes through many switchbacks, you come into the National Seashore, just at about where the ridge is, just about at the ridge line. A long, hot, strenuous climb. I picked probably the hottest afternoon of the time that I was going to be there. Made easier, of course, by Pacific breezes as you get closer to the ridge. I considered turning around before I got all the way up there. After all, sometimes what you think is the ridge isn't, and you're not actually there where you think you're getting. Or sometimes you get to the ridge and all you see is another valley and a ridge on the other side, and you can't really, it feels like you're not making any progress, or at least it feels to me like I'm not making any progress. Because what I really wanted was to see. I wanted to see the hazy blue of the Pacific and the fingers of Point Reyes reaching out towards the horizon below me. And I was pretty sure if I got all the way to the ridge, I could see that, but I wasn't positive. So I continued, and I got to the ridge top, and when I came out on a paved road at the end of the trail, none of what I hoped for was in view. All I could see was chaparral and some trees, right? That way, chaparral, trees. That way, chaparral, a few more trees, not as many as over here. Anyway, not what I came to see. But I decided to walk along the road for a ways, and I chose to go to the right. That seemed like it might be the right direction, and it turned out to be a good choice, for I was rewarded sometime later with the view that I had come to see. At a point where a small pond lay just below the road a little ways off, there in the distance were the esteros, the bays of Point Reyes, and then the long barrier beach on the southern end, and then the ridge of the point itself, and the hazy blue of the Pacific beyond all of that. It was striking to see the blue-green of the pond reflecting the sky, and then the green, blue of the land giving way to the esteros, and then the barrier beach, and then the ocean, the open ocean beyond that. I was high up enough that if I went a little further down the road, it was possible to see almost the entire sweep of the peninsula, except for the far southeastern and northwestern ends of things. You could see almost everything if you got up on a little hummock on the side of the road. The highest point I could find was a little pile of dirt on the side of the road, which had been packed down hard by a bunch of other people wanting to see the same view before me. Doubtless, many delighted people before me. And you could take it all in. It was amazing. And it felt more amazing because I'd actually managed to walk uphill the whole way there, right? That was part of why it was a gift. And of course, this would have been the point for me to take a picture, right? I mean, how can you not take a picture at this point? You've reached the summit. But I didn't have either my camera or my binoculars with me. I had left my smartphone behind because the mapping program didn't seem to be working properly, and I wanted to be able to see where I was on the map, but the smartphone wasn't working, so I left it behind. And I had forgotten my binoculars, something a birder should never do. Right, John? So, and I hadn't even, I thought, okay, well, I don't have my technology, but I've got my notebook, right? I'll make a sketch. I hadn't even brought my journal with me. I had nothing that I could even write on to preserve this moment visually, right? I rifled through my backpack, but I didn't have anything that could help me. So I had to look again and just see. With no technology either to bring the vision closer or preserve it for future viewing, I was left with memory alone. Ephemeral, perhaps, but perhaps more precious because of that. So I managed to get to see what I wanted to see. The story of Bartimaeus is similarly a story of someone getting to see what they want to see. And I am hoping for the next several Sundays that I speak, certainly into October, to invite us to think more about vision and to ask ourselves, what is it that we want to see? If we're not seeing what we want to see, what is it that we want to see? What kind of vision do we want to have? And do we really want that kind of vision? Do we really want to see the things that we need to see? It's impossible for me really to imagine what it was like for Bartimaeus to be given back his sight, to be able to see again all of the things that he knew were there because he had seen them once. But for all of that to be given back in one instance. For us, all of us here are sighted to some degree or another, and perhaps we've never had that kind of experience. Perhaps you have, and if you have, I'd like to know about it. But for us, even though we are sighted individuals, there are things that we either can't see or don't see in our daily lives, and also over the course of our lives, I think. There are things we don't see because we choose to look away. So one of the kinds of vision that I think I need to renew my prayers for, one of the kinds of vision that if I were Bartimaeus, I would be asking Jesus for, is the kind of vision that allows me to look with compassion upon each person that I meet. The kind of vision that allows me to see with God's eyes the conditions of each person, without judgment, but with discernment. Being able to see what it is, being able to see the struggles that a particular person or people are engaged in. Being able to see their fears and their joys. That is surely the kind of vision that Jesus had for Bartimaeus. That is surely the way that Jesus gazed at Bartimaeus as the sight first came back to his eyes. And Jesus' face looking upon Bartimaeus with compassion was probably the first thing that Bartimaeus saw when his sight was returned to him. So there's the vision of compassion for everyone that I encounter, the vision of compassion for everyone that we encounter, that I certainly need to pray for, need to ask God for. There's also the vision that sweeps over the landscape in breathtaking detail, but also at a great distance. Somewhat like that vision standing on that hummock on the Point Reyes Peninsula that I had a few weeks ago. And I found out, by the way, that after the fact that I was standing, the road that I was on was called Mount Vision Road, so it seemed appropriate, right? I mean, they named it well. But that kind of vision is vision at a distance, but it's vision that goes a long way. It's a completely different scale than the person who is in front of you. But that's also the kind of vision that the church needs. That's the kind of vision that we need as part of the community of Christ, because we need to be able to see at a long distance where we're going, where God is calling us to go. We need to be occupied with the details right in front of our face, because God, not the devil, is in the details. God calls out to us out of the details of other people's lives who are in need. God calls to us through the details of our own lives. But we also need to be able to see long term. We need to be able to ask God for that kind of vision as well. So over the course of the next several Sundays that I'm speaking, I hope that we'll be able to engage with both these kinds of vision in more detail. And if you have thoughts or concerns or ideas about that, I'm interested in hearing them. But for today, let's remember that where the journey begins is with persistence and unreservedness like that of Bartimaeus. When we ask God to restore our sight, we need to be clear on what it is that we're asking for. And we need to be willing to come to God and again and again when our sight is still cloudy or we're not seeing the details that we hope to see yet. And when God says, call to him, call to her, come over here, what is it that you want? We need to be willing to cast aside the stuff that might be weighing us down and go and ask for what it is that we really need.